In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today, my beloved, is the third Sunday of the blessed month of Kiyak. And as I mentioned before, the church reads for us the four different sections of Luke chapter 1, which recount for us the birth, the Annunciation and birth of St. John the Baptist and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And today's passage is the visit of St. Mary to St. Elizabeth after St. Mary heard that she would conceive the Lord Jesus. The scripture tells us that Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste, and she remained with her for about 3 months and then returned to her home until Elizabeth delivered. During this time of season is what some people call the season of giving. We give and exchange gifts and things like this during this season, and perhaps maybe even in our charitable donations, we're a bit more generous with our donations. So I'd like to speak a little bit about the gift of giving. The gift of giving. St. Mary's visit wasn't simply a time for her to reunite with her family, but she was offering her gift of encouragement and love and support to her cousin Elizabeth. And in response to St. Mary's visit to Elizabeth, the babe in her womb, which was St. John the Baptist, leapt for joy. So this was a cause for joy for Elizabeth and also for St. Mary as well. And this heart of giving, I think, that we see in St. Mary is something we can learn from and emulate. So I'll briefly this morning speak about what, how, and why we give others gifts. What are the type of gifts that we can give others? Is it simply just monetary kind of gifts or possessions? No, there are many other kinds of gifts. But those gifts are one of them. And that's why I just mentioned it first. These are the materialistic gifts. And sometimes, you know, in scripture we consider them as alms. As the Lord said, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. So here he's referring to, you know, whether it's money or our possessions, he wants us to be generous and to be liberal with our giving. If you remember in the story of the woman, the widow at Zarephath, who was, visited by Elijah, and she had just a little bit of flour left and oil, and Elijah told her, make for me a cake first. And she obeyed in submission, knowing that this was their last meal for her and her son, and she baked it and made it for him and gave it to him. And because of this, the oil and the flour in her house, you know, remained full until the end of the famine. St. Basil the Great has a beautiful saying. He says, the bread in your cupboard belongs to the hungry. The coat unused in your closet belongs to one who needs it. You know, we get very accustomed to collecting many things, and perhaps even before they even are used, we don't need them anymore, or they just sit in our closet or sit in whatever in storage, and we collect them. How about donating these things that are in good condition to those who are in need? This is what he's saying. And it's beautiful, during this time, we sometimes have these kinds of donations and throughout the year. But this would be a good time to give to others those which is in our surplus. This is the first kind of giving, which we're all familiar with. Another kind of giving is the gift of service. As St. Paul teaches us, he says, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. So bearing with one another's burden is I'm serving them. I take his burden and I share in his burden with him. If you remember the passage of the Good Samaritan, there are many lessons here, but, you know, I'll mention a couple of them throughout the sermon. But in the passage of the Good Samaritan, this Good Samaritan was on some kind of business trip. And he stops when he sees this poor Jewish man beaten, half dead. He leaves wherever he's going to take care of him. So he sacrificed his time. He sacrificed his animal. He sacrificed himself, right? He did actually clean the wounds and so on. And he took him to the inn or the hotel. So he sacrificed of himself the service for others. So this is the gift of service. Not necessarily is our giving materialistic things, but it can be the gift of service, to serve one another. I can serve my family. I can serve in my community. All of these are types of gifts. We also have spiritual gifts. These can be have many shapes, but one of them, for example, is the gift of sharing the gospel. There are many people, believe it or not, that don't understand the gospel message fully or don't even know the gospel message. I had somebody, you know, speak with me, and he was on a trip to another country, and he was telling me about a discussion that he had with his co-worker. And he was telling me, when I was sharing to her, I told her, do you know who Jesus Christ is? And she's like, no, who's that? It's hard to believe in the era that we're in now that there's people in the world who've never even heard about the Lord Jesus. This is true. And people have heard of him but have a wrong impression of him, right? So part of our service is to share this good news with our brethren. Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler who came to Christ and asked him, how is it that I can go to the kingdom of heaven? And he told them the commandments, and then finally he told them, okay, go sell what you have and follow me, take up your cross, and then come after me and follow me. Did the Lord do any kind of miracle with him? He didn't. He didn't perform any kind of miracle. He didn't heal the man from anything. But what was he doing? He was sharing the gospel of take up your cross and follow me. This is the gospel. He was offering him this as a gift. This is why St. Paul tells us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. There are also, and under spiritual gifts, there's also the gifts that are associated with my repentance, for example. If you look in the story of Zacchaeus, when Christ came into his house and he repented, a response to his repentance was, not only was he going to restore fourfold to those whom he cheated, but he was going to give half of his goods to the poor. Right? So this giving was a response, was a spiritual act in response to his repentance. Right? So there are also these kinds of gifts as well that are spiritual gifts. There are also personal sacrifices. And these perhaps have to do or they're more centered around the fulfilling of another person's need. I can give them, perhaps somebody who is going through some kind of distress, and I give them my time. When I'm speaking with them, I give them my attention. I'm not distracted by my phone or anything else. If somebody, you know, offended me, I forgive them, right? Or if somebody is going through a tough time, I show empathy, right? This is what the Bible teaches us. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. This is an act of service. When I go and offer my condolences to someone who is grieving, for example, this is an act of service meant to give them comfort. There's also the act of encouragement. You know, St. Barnabas, when St. Paul, after his conversion, the church feared him, and they didn't accept him. St. Barnabas went and encouraged St. Paul and said, let me bring you to the apostles because they know me, and I'll vouch for you. And that's what he did, right? He offered him this kind of encouragement as a personal service and sacrifice. Lastly, there's the sacrificial giving. The sacrificial giving. Sometimes when we give, but we're not affected by the giving. But there's another level of giving where I suffer because of the giving. This is what led to the praise of the Lord about the woman who gave the two mites. The Lord said, this poor widow has put in more than everyone else, more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings to God, but she, out of her poverty, had put in all the livelihood that she had. Put in everything. Look at our brethren, the monks, or our fathers, the monks, right? They gave up everything. They take a vow of poverty and obedience and submission and give up everything to be united to the One. They gave up everything. This is another level. St. John, or the Lord, teaches us, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friend. Laying down one's life for someone else means what? That I'm sacrificing everything that I have. And those martyrs who laid down their life for Christ gave up everything they had, all the ties to their family and their friends and their community and their ambitions, everything they gave as a sacrifice. This is the sacrificial offering. So how should we then offer our gifts? When we go and offer gifts to one another, how should we offer them? Scripture teaches us for many things. Number one, we should give with love and compassion. We should give with love and compassion. St. Paul teaches, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, but have not love, it profits me nothing. If I give everything that I have to feed the poor, but I don't do it with love, it profits me nothing. Profits meaning I gain nothing in front of God because of this. If I do it grudgingly or reluctantly or because I'm embarrassed or because I want to look good in front of other people, it must be offered with love. Again, if we return to the story of the Good Samaritan, what led him to help this man was compassion only. Did he get anything out of this? No. Actually, everything was lost for him. He lost his time. He lost his effort. Perhaps whatever business encounter, back then they didn't have cell phones, so he couldn't call the guy and say, I'm running late. Most likely wherever he was going, the guy left, and that was it. He sacrificed wherever he was going, right? Not only that, when he went to give, his primary concern was the healing of this man. So he told the innkeeper, take whatever you need now, and whatever you need more than what I gave you, I'll repay when I come back. So meaning, it doesn't matter what it takes, but what's important to me is this man is made well. This is out of compassion, right? Given with love and with compassion. Number two, our gifts should be given generously. St. Paul tells us, he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Meaning when I sow and give liberally, what is the result of this will also be liberal. God will shower us with much more. And the showering here is not monetarily. There are many other gifts that are far more valuable that God gives us than monetary things. And the Lord taught us, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him what? Go with him too. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go too. Be generous in your giving. This person went double the distance, right, when he was asked. Abba Isaac says something, it's profound, but I'm going to share it with you, but I want you, we'll get the principle out of it. Again, these are monastics, right? These writings are coming from monastics. He says, if you possess something that you cannot give away, you do not possess it, it possesses you. It's a profound statement. If there's something that I have that I can't give away, then that thing possesses me. Again, this doesn't mean, again, maybe in monasticism, it's to this degree. But I think the lesson for us, or the heart of it is what, is the detachment, right? Am I attached to something so much where I can't offer any good deed to someone, or I can't, let go of something? Is there something that I'm holding too tight in my hand that I can't let go of? This idea of detachment. And it's not just physical attachments or possessions, but even my own body. I can be working and come back late from work, and I see that my family needs some kind of service, some kind of help. I can come and I can say, you know what, it's about me, I'm tired, you guys deal with it. And I can come back and say, even if I'm tired, I'm going to take this one for the team, and I'm going to do it anyways, right? So I sacrifice of myself, and I do so generously. The third way in which we should offer gifts is secretly and in humility. And this is what the Lord teaches us on the Sermon on the Mountain. He says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So in essence, he's saying, don't parade your giving. When you give, just give it. Very rarely, but I've had happen, where somebody wants to give a kind of donation, and they open like the check, and they open it, and they show it to me, and they give it to me. Okay, this means they want Sabuna to see how much he's giving, so he wants something in return. Maybe. I don't know. But he says, give it in secret. We fold it up, we give it to him, or we put it in the box, and nobody knows, just between me and God, right? And the Father who sees in secret will reward us openly. When we give, we should also give joyfully. It says, St. Paul says, God loves a cheerful giver. He loves the cheerful giver, that when I'm giving, I'm happy to give, because I cause joy and relief to the person that I'm giving or I'm offering to. Zacchaeus was very happy to give half of his goods to the poor when the Lord came into his house. Lastly, when we give, we should give without expecting anything in return. The Lord teaches us, and he says, love your enemies, do good, hoping for nothing in return. Do good, hoping for nothing in return. Do you know Saint Nicholas is real? Do you know Santa is real? He's real. Right? There's a saint called Saint Nicholas. This is where the story of Santa comes from. Right? He's the bishop of Myra. And actually this bishop, it says that there was a rich man in his village that suddenly he became very poor and he had three daughters. And his daughters were past the age of marriage and he couldn't marry them. So Saint Nicholas, this came to his ear and he knew this. So what he did, he took 100 pieces of denarii, gold denarii, put them in a sack, and at night, while they were sleeping, he went and he took the sack and he threw it in the window, right? So the man woke up the morning, found the money, and he thanked God because he was praying for this. So he took this sack and with it, he was able to marry his first daughter. Then the second time, same thing happened. Saint Nicholas put the money in the sack, wrapped it up, and threw it in the window at night when he was sleeping. So he's very thankful, and he married a second daughter, but then he said, I need to find out who's doing this, who's so generous in his giving that they don't even want to be thanked for it. So he predicted when the next one would be. So Saint Nicholas, he put the money in the sack, tied it, and threw it in the house, and as soon as he heard the money drop in the room there, he ran outside and found that it was the bishop of the city. And he told him, you know, he expressed his gratitude and didn't know how to repay him, and he thanked him. So he gave without wanting any recognition. He wanted nothing in return. Do you remember the story of Tobit in the Old Testament? Tobit, what was his service? The king would kill his brethren, the Jews, because he didn't like them, and leave them in the streets so the animals can consume them as a type of humiliation. And anybody who would bury them would be killed by the king. So what did he do? He waited until nighttime. He went out. He gathered his brethren who were murdered. And he went and buried him in his own plot of land. Again, threatening himself. And he did it in secret. Could the dead man say thank you? Nobody said thank you. Actually, there are people who rebuked him. His wife rebuked him. His friends rebuked him and said, why do you keep doing this if it threatens your life? But he couldn't bear to see his brethren on the ground there to be humiliated. He gave without expecting anything in return and in secret. So what is the blessing of giving? When we give, what is the blessing? We receive God's blessing in return. This is what the Lord told us. He says, when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret himself will reward you openly. And if you think about, okay, the Father is going to reward us. When we sometimes read this verse, we say, okay, God is going to reward me according to the reward that I ask him. God, I need a job, I need a house, I need money, I need a promotion. This is what we think God is going to reward us for. But actually, this is a bit humiliating to God, right? Why? Because God wants to give a gift to someone, the creator of the whole universe, and then we ask him for some money. The smallest thing, this is insignificant to him, and it's invaluable to him. What does he give us that's worthy of the Father? It's his kingdom. It's of himself. He gave us of himself. And this is what he tried to tell Abraham. When he appeared to Abraham the first time, he said to him, I am your exceedingly great reward, because there's nothing greater that I can give you besides myself. All of the things you ask for, children and possessions, these are insignificant to what I can give you. So when he says here, the Father will reward you openly, imagine now his kind of reward, what it looks like. There's one of the quarterbacks in the NFL this past holiday season. He gifted his linemen, the people that protect him, a new car. And this got so many likes and views online and everything. And they're like, wow, imagine how nice it would be to be one of those people that get this as a gift, a brand new, like, big truck, right? Because this is what a man can give. But God gives something far greater than that. Also, the second blessing of giving is the joy and contentment. The Lord said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Winston Churchill, who was the British Prime Minister at one time, he says, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. We make a life by what we give. It's through giving that we find purpose and meaning in our life. Collecting things just makes us wealthy and makes us feel good about ourselves. But having a purpose and meaning in life where I make a difference, this is only when I give. Lastly, spiritual growth and transformation happens when we give. St. Paul tells his disciple Timothy, "Let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share." So part of our spiritual growth is developing the gift of giving. Giving. Because when we give, we let go. And then we're able to receive from God the gifts that He has to offer to us. Abba Pimen, one of the, again, monastic fathers, he says, "Do not neglect the poor, for through them your heart will draw near to God." Don't neglect giving, because through giving, our heart will draw near to God. We learn to be compassionate for them and to them when we give them, when we serve them, right? We learn to feel for them. Our mother, St. Mary, when she went to offer Elizabeth her gift of service, she did so not desiring anything in return. And she went offering her service with joy, not disgruntledness and not out of compulsion. But she did it with joy. And she sacrificed perhaps her own need to care for her own body as she is pregnant with the Lord in the first trimester, in the first 3 months of pregnancy, which are the most critical. Despite all these, she went to serve her cousin. May God grant us the ability and the grace to learn to give in a similar manner as St. Mary did. To give, because in doing so, we receive God's blessing. We are filled with joy and contentment, and also we are transformed into His image. To God be glory forever and ever. Amen.